In Mark's gospel passage this morning, Jesus uses two parables to illustrate God's kingdom. First, Jesus says God's kingdom is like someone who, having scattering seed, goes to sleep, and then this person, the sower, wakes up to find that the seed has grown, first into sprout, then stalk, then head, then full grain. Notably, the sower, quote, does not know how this growth happens. And soon enough, the harvest comes. Now imagine that you and I are the seeds. The focus on our growth from seed to wheat is not on what we have achieved, but the fact that we grew and changed. So this parable emphasizes that it's God who allows the seeds to grow into grain, and it is not any success or achievement by the seeds or the sower. And in this parable, Mark is not interested in our accomplishments and failures within the kingdom of God. In this same passage, Jesus goes on to compare God's kingdom to a mustard seed, a seed that's almost invisible, but a seed that, despite its tiny size, grows to be the biggest of the shrubs. I had to ask a neighbor to show me a mustard seed, and I brought it because I don't use these in cooking or anything, and I didn't really know what they looked like. I mean, you can tell it's small from the gospel passage, but I'll show you. See? I'll put it right here. Jesus' second image here of this mustard seed poses a real challenge for us. It encourages us to look for signs of God's kingdom that are basically invisible. In these oversimplified likenesses of God's kingdom, the pictures Jesus gives us are incomplete. They bring up more questions than answers for many of us. For example, in God's kingdom, if we are the seeds, why does it seem that some seeds are born to thrive and grow while other seeds don't even stand a chance? Oh, and by the way, what happens to all the seeds when the harvest comes? Frustratingly, this passage concludes, well, inconclusively. It says that Jesus did not speak to the crowds except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The sower only catches glimpses of the seeds growing, but doesn't understand how it happens. A mustard seed is almost invisible. We talk about God's grace all the time here at church. We read about it from the lectern here. We talk about it in Sunday school, at preschool, in chapel. And all of this, even as most of our lives are full of invisible struggles, difficult relationships, difficulty sleeping at night. In practicality, in the nitty-gritty reality of everyday life, God can feel almost invisible in our lives. And it can seem, perhaps, sometimes, that there are a chosen few, maybe the people in robes who only get to see or get to have full access to God. There are times when we most need an understanding of Jesus, when we desperately need that and we don't get to see it. In this life, there is so much grace that we don't see. And there are many places in the scriptures that are really honest about that reality. Listen to Paul from this morning. Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, his second letter to the Corinthians, he says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." There are some things that we can see. The sacraments, like baptism and the Eucharist, they are, to quote our prayer book, outward and visible signs of inward and invisible grace. Outward and visible signs of inward and invisible grace. The sacraments are here to remind us that God's grace is at work within each of us right now, growing and changing us. And maybe that all sounds too churchy, because it is. In practice, though, we are lucky if we just can grasp what's available to us. The writer Anne Lamott offers her own imagery for this reality of almost invisible grace. She writes about this in her book, Operating Instructions, which is all about raising her son in his first year of life. And the story is actually of her friend, a mother. A mother and her 1.5-year-old child staying together in a vacation rental. It's a condominium, 2 rooms attached by 1 door. And the mother has put her child down for a nap in the crib in the adjacent room, and she pulls down the blackout shades, turns off the lights, and closes the door between the 2 rooms, and finally sits down to do some writing in those precious moments. After a short time, the mother hears the baby and hears that he has gotten out of his crib and is knocking on that connecting door, saying, "Mommy, Mommy." And she hears then a dreaded sound, the click of the door locking from the child's side. The child has locked himself in. So the mother comes over to the door and tries to open from her side. And in the process of her attempting to open the door, the child begins to understand that he is not going to be able to get to his mother in that moment. He begins to panic and wails as she calls the rental property manager and the condo manager and leaves voicemails on both phones. And she attempts all different keys, and finally, she tries to explain to the child how to unlock the door. "Just jiggle the doorknob, baby," she says, but it's too complex for this little child, who is terrified and he's sobbing in the dark. Finally, the mother does the only thing that she can think of. Sinking to her knees, she slides her fingers under the half-inch crack at the bottom of the door, saying, "Just grab onto my fingers, baby. It'll be all right." And so the two of them lie there together, a child in the dark, a mother in the light, touching fingertips, waiting, resting, the child eventually napping, until the manager of the rental property comes to unlock the door. How much is God just like that mother? And we are the little child. And we are panicked in the dark and cannot, sometimes for the life of us, figure out how to unlock that door. No matter what, God is not going to take her fingers away from that crack. She is going to get right down on the floor and stay next to us. And she is right there, even though we can't always see, and we most of the time cannot understand her. We might sense her presence through her fingertips, through her breath, through the assurance that she is our mother and she would do anything for us. And we may not know it now, but God's grace is there. It is here. We can taste it and we can hope for it. We just need to stay by the door. Reach out your fingers. Feel hers and trust. Trust the story of Easter. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Even though she is almost invisible, God is working within us, growing us, changing us. She is not going anywhere.